What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys for tuning in, as always. First things first, remember to go hit that Patreon, patreon.com/kindaneat, where you are going to be able to pledge if you are a weekly listener. Like I've said a million times before, if you are a weekly listener, please do that and help us keep the lights on. But if you are just tuning in for the first time to hear our chat with NetArb, then don't worry about it. I say that every episode. I'm not some thirsty old person just asking for money. I've been doing this for quite so many years, and that is what helps us keep the show going. So go to patreon.com/kindaneat. That's the only advertisement you will hear. Guys, I want to talk quickly about an episode a couple weeks ago with our new buddy Jizzle. I've noticed some of the comments on the YouTube video, because I do read those comments saying things kind of like, yeah, I don't know, the flow's good, but she's not saying anything, or like, oh, this is 2 minutes and 15 seconds of intro. Like, I get it, but I want to talk about listening habits a little bit, because I know some of you guys that tune in, particularly to the YouTube channel, are young. Like, this is a gateway into what your future music habits are going to be. And I know that we're not always going to agree on everything that sounds cool, that I think sounds cool and that you think sounds cool. And that's fine, because there's some stuff that on the channel that you guys think sounds cool that I'm like not 100% about, which is also fine, because I'm still trying to, like, you know, it's still just an algorithm in my head that makes sense about what ends up on the channel. But I had some advice given to me as a young rap fan when I was about 18 or 19, when I was like just into super lyrical, spiritual, miracle, cheerio, fucking, I just wanted to hear bars and lyrics and everything, you know? And I was like, if there's not some complex rhyme scheme with a fucking, with multi-leveled or layered metaphors, then it's not dope, you know? It needs to be bars and multi-syllabic rhyme schemes, et cetera, et cetera. And I had an older friend who was like, look, man, that shit's cool, but, like, you know, the other thing to remember is that sometimes it's not what you say, but it's how you say it, or things that are left unsaid or dead space are just as important as the syllables that get filled in, right? And at the time I went, that sounds like some bullshit. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, like, sometimes, like, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. But let me tell you something, and Jizzle is a perfect example, that sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Because I don't give a fuck what anybody says. And, like, let me preface this by saying the overwhelming majority of responses to that video have been positive. Almost everybody's like, oh, man, thank you for introducing me to this hot fire. I'm just taking, like, two comments as an example, because they are comments that I've seen on other videos on the channel as well. I just think that some of you guys got to remember that it's not always about what's being said. Sometimes it's just how you say it. Because there are things that a rapper can have that I and many other people on the internet refer to as intangibles, right? Like, oh, explain to me why this is dope. I can't really explain it. It's just something intangible. It's a feeling. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that you have to be any sort of intuitive genius to hear. I'm using Jizzle as an example because it's just visceral and on my mind. But someone like her, when you hear that music, you don't need to be like, like I said, you don't need to be some kind of genius to feel like, wow, this is something special. You know what I mean? You can just watch her movements, listen to her voice, hear the energy behind it and feel it and just know, like, ooh, that, like, that sounds good. Like, she could have been rapping the ingredients off of a Campbell's soup can and that shit still would have sounded tight. And some people will go, it's just because it's a dope beat. And, like, yeah, dude, but guess who picked that beat? Like, there is a talent in these things that young backpacker fans often forget or don't even realize yet. Like, there is an art to picking a beat. There is an art to picking a beat that you will sound good on. There is an art to becoming one with that beat and making it into a hit record. And just, like, sounding good over it. And if you can sound good over something, that's half the battle of being an artist. And I don't care if over something like that, if she was going to be like, hey, yo, a bomb atomically, like, I'm not trying to hear that over that beat. Like, the way she utilized that beat is an art. period. And so that's the end of that rant. I'm using Jizzle as an example because, like I said, it's fresh on my mind. But you guys got to remember, sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I know that those of you who are fans of intuition music, and that's how you found this podcast, then you could say, well, it's totally about what you say and not how you say it. And I would say, I know that because I certainly do not have nearly as much charm or swag or whatever. I don't have those certain intangibles that many other artists have. All that I have is like a voice that I learned to make decent and a lot of bars and raps and rhymes. But like, I'll be the first to admit that like my fucking rap style is formulaic. Go listen. I have one rap style and like, and I wish I had more styles, but like, I just know how to do the one thing really good. And so I look up to artists like her who are able to like in that song, she rapped in fucking four different styles, if you're paying attention. And that to me is a talent that is just amazing. It's great. Okay, so that ends that topic. Another topic, just referring to YouTube comments now. Shout out to the homie Camboy, I think is, or Camboy. I forget how he spells it, but there's a dude that always comments on the YouTube channel named Cam, and I fuck with him, and he always comments on the, specifically on the actual podcast posts. And he said something about after the long hiatus, he was like, oh man, I know that you have to like, you know, take time off sometimes to concentrate on your health and various other things or getting healthy and whatever. He's like, but we missed the podcast. And I responded to that comment on YouTube, but I do want to say like, I didn't take that month off just because of getting healthy. But I do remember that a few months ago, I want to say like back in, I don't know, January-ish or something, I was talking about the health kick that I was on. And so I wanted to kind of complete that story to let you guys know how it went. So at my fattest, around last July or June, whenever my brother got married, I think maybe around June, I was up at like around 2:30. I looked terrible in the fucking wedding pictures. I looked fat as fuck. And I shaved my beard at that time, so I was like looking extra pudgy because everyone knows that when you're bald and you have a beard, it's merely to hide a double chin, period. So yeah, I was up to like 2:30, and I'm only 6 foot, so walking around at 2:30, that's pretty bulky. My goal was to get down to 200. I wanted to try to lose 30 pounds because I feel like I said, I'm 35. If you don't lose it at that point, you're never going to lose it. So I started doing two-a-days where I was going hiking up the Baldwin Hill stairs and then going to the gym and lifting weights and eating extra healthy and like cut all my portions in half off top because I'm like a symptomatic overeater. Like I'm the quintessential overeater. And then around December, I got on this like one of those kind of like app things where, you know, you're doing an exercise program where you're working out five times a week. And it was like this 40-20 where I would work out for 40 seconds and take a break for 20. And it was intense and it worked great. And it ended in February right before I left for Japan. So it coincidentally ended on the day that my flight to Japan took off for that snowboarding trip. So I was in really great shape when I left for that trip. Unfortunately, I never made my goal weight of 200, but I did make it down to 210, which was fantastic. I'm still hovering around there right now. I've probably gained a couple pounds because what happened is when I got back from Japan, I started that exercise program again, but it kind of plateaued off and it's not having the same effect as me. And I've also noticed that I'm like not paying as close attention to what I'm eating, et cetera, et cetera. And my weight fluctuates hella easy. So when I took that month off, I wasn't just working on health, but I did think that I should update you guys on where I was at with that. I don't know why. I'm only doing that because I'm an egomaniac, and I think that anybody's listening to this. But I know none of you are listening to this, and that's fine too. It's fine if you fast forward to the beat. I don't care. But this is cheaper than a therapist. Unfortunately, I've had to change my workout routine one more time because my left arm is basically about to fall off. I have like a strained tendon in my bicep and I'm having shoulder issues, the same kind of like bursitis issues that I was having in my right shoulder a couple summers ago, if you guys listen real close, when I had to get the cortisone shot. So now that's happening in my left shoulder instead of my right shoulder. So basically I can't lift any weights right now. It hurts to do a pull-up. It hurts to do a push-up. So that sucks. So what I've started trying to do is jog. And jogging is a bitch. Let me tell you, it is not fun, but I'm doing it and I'm trying to keep the weight down, but I do notice that it's like not as effective for me as the kind of like full body workouts. So eventually once this arm heals, I'll start getting back into it again. But I promise you one thing. I'm not going to get back up to 230 because that is just too fat for your boy. And I want to remain handsome for all of you loyal listeners. So anyhow, those are my updates. And I hope you guys really take that. If you're a fucking backpack rapping ass fan, more power to you. I can paint a picture for you if you're a backpack and rapper ass fan. I can paint a perfect picture of who you are. You're about 19. You're overwhelmingly white. You're probably white. You probably got really into rap just within the last 2 years, even though your parents grew up mostly listening to another genre. But you're obsessive, and so when you find out about a new type of music, you want to dive head fucking first into it and just soak up everything that you can. And you've probably had conversations on the internet about real hip hop versus fake hip hop or mainstream rap, lamestream rap, maybe you call it. But you definitely differentiate between hip hop and rap, which there's no. That's a stupid conversation. Just stop having it. But if you're that guy, then take that advice that I gave at the beginning and just remember, like, you will have so much more fun listening to music if sometimes you can just accept that a song is dope simply because it's dope. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes there's no explanation. It's just intangibly fucking good. And it's the combination of the whole thing. Maybe no one part is fantastic by itself, but for some reason it all comes together to make an amazing song. And that's a solid rap listening advice. Okay, today on the show, this is a long intro and we have a fucking long podcast, but that's okay. I've been talking about this dude, Nedarb, I mention him all the time. And if you listen to other LA podcasts, like, he's like the guest that everyone's had on. And I haven't had him on yet because I don't know. Part of me has just been waiting for the right time. Like, I've always seen a lot of potential in Ned. We talk about it on the show. He's somebody that I met when he was still just a kid. He was probably 19 when we started talking online and shit. He would ask me to intern for Kinda Neat, and he would tell me, like, oh, I have this friend Milo who raps and da-da-da-da-da. And, like, oh, Milo got signed to Hellfire and this, that, and the other. So, you know, we've been in contact for a while, and he's always been kind of like the little homie. But as I've been watching him progress, he's become like just the regular homie because he's out here making his own waves. And sometimes it takes a minute when you're that close to something. Sometimes you have to take a step back and go like, oh, wait, like, this isn't the little homie anymore. This is just like a peer, you know. And so he's at the point where he's like definitely just a peer, you know. And he's somebody that has that certain talent to just be able to hear something so raw and out of the ordinary that a trained ear might not understand at all and go like, oh, this is the next shit. And I've mentioned him a bunch of times on this podcast, so you're familiar with his name. And I always mention him in the same breath as Speak. Because Speak was like that when we were younger too. He still is, but it's one of those things where, like, you can hear something that's so raw and so different. And to me, sometimes it sounds shitty, you know, like, I don't have that same ear for it as folks like him do, but he can hear something that's completely not polished yet and go like, this is going to be huge. And so that's the kind of talent that Ned has. And he also makes beats. He has a penchant for sampling old emo shit, putting drums over it and producing for folks like Lil Peep, Lil Tracy, Horsehead, I think Wicca Phase, like all kinds of folks. So he's somebody that floats around the Kinda Neat world and has put me on to guests that we've had that have gone on to do great things. He was one of the people where when I was going to have Ghostman on, I said, yo, I texted Ned like, yo, I just saw this dude Ghostman perform. Like, you think he would be tight as a guest on Kinda Neat? He was like, yeah. And lo and behold, fucking biggest episode we had last year. So Ghostman was actually in the other room while we were doing this podcast. Fucking great, great guy. Anyway, without further ado, this is a conversation with one of the biggest mavens and connectors in Los Angeles, and his name is Braden, but you guys might know him better as Nedarb Nagram. Here it is. I've known you for a long time. I get your rap name wrong all the time because my dyslexic mind just wants to call you by your real name. Yeah,
it's hard.
It is. But I've known you since before you got out here. Mm-hmm. So let's start from the beginning. Where are you from? I always forget. Is it Wisconsin?
No, I'm originally from a province called Alberta in Canada.
Oh, yeah, Canada. So, that's, yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm Canadian. I was born in Edmonton, but I grew up in a city called Medicine Hat, which is like a few hours away from Calgary. And then in fifth grade.
Is that how you
grade,
say Calgary? Is yeah. Calgary?
Yeah.
No shit.
That's how like Canadians will say it and shit.
No kidding.
But no, like I lived there for a long time. My dad's a hockey coach. So every time we would move, it was because he would like coach a new college and shit. So
that's the most Canadian thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my mom's just a social worker, so she can pretty much get like some social working job wherever. But like, my family really wanted to move to America for some reason, and the rest of my family was, like, kind of beefing about it. But, yeah, when I was in fifth grade, we drove from Alberta to – I lived in Lake Placid, and I lived there for a year when I was in fifth grade, and then
– Lake Placid, is that Michigan?
No, what? In New York, upstate New York, where the Olympics were in 32 and 80.
My geography is terrible. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in fifth grade, you moved from Canada to America. Yeah. What was the science behind that? When you say your family got mad at it, you, like the
like my extended, the extended family, they were just mad. Like, why are you guys going to America? Like, what the fuck? Because a lot of Canadians think like Americans are like insane, which I mean –
We are.
Definitely are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just a better opportunity because my dad could make more money at a college than what was offered like up there.
So your dad is born and raised in Canada.
He was born in Germany because my grandfather was in the army. He like fixed tanks and shit. But
In the German army?
No, in the Canadian army.
Okay, I was like, which war are we talking about?
They were just stationed in Germany when he was born. And then he's a Canadian citizen. He grew up in British Columbia and in Medicine Hat. And then my mom's from Canada too, like Swift Current, Saskatchewan.
So do you guys parlez-vous français?
No, that's only in Quebec and like eastern parts of Canada. But they made us like take French when I was like growing up.
Right.
It never really stuck with me.
Did your dad want you to play hockey then?
Yeah, I played hockey for 14 years. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah,
you
I'm
good?
Like super good. Like,
no shit.
Yeah, like if I never picked up music, I probably would have like went to the NHL. Like, I was super fucking good at hockey. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like, but so I was on like. Like, even when I was in high school, I was, like, the only freshman to make, like, the varsity team.
Wait, what year were you? I mean, what month were you born in?
December 19th.
Oh, so you got to be – you were the oldest of the young kids in the
– I was the youngest kid in my grade.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so have you ever read Outliers? I talk about this all the time. So in Outliers, the very first chapter of it is about how, like, most of the people in the NHL are born between, like, these 3 months.
For
and,
real?
And it's because of the cutoff, the way the Canadian leagues work. It's like if you're the oldest kid, then you're going to be the biggest kid, and then you'll get advanced to comp teams faster.
I was the youngest. So I was like 13 when I made that team.
No shit.
Yeah, so I was like super fucking young, but
like travel teams and all that?
Yeah, and then I got recruited to play at a prep school called Hebron.
Yeah.
Hebron Academy in Maine.
Uh-huh.
So I'd like moved and lived in like a dorm at this private school pretty much for free cuz like I got recruited. But but they kind of fucked me over cuz when I got there and we did tryouts, like I was like the second person like below like the roster to like make it. Like I actually didn't make the varsity team. So and then at those type of schools, like you have to play a sport every season. So the JV team would be a bunch of kids who like it would be like 30 kids, half of them really good that just didn't make varsity and the other half like who didn't even know how to skate.
Right.
And so it fucked up my passion for hockey and I started like skipping practice and shit. And even before that, when I was a freshman, I, like, broke my collarbone. So when I got back, I moved back to New Hampshire because after Lake Placid, we had moved to New Hampshire. So after that, then I went back and just played varsity again. But I just got kind of tired of it and then started making music.
So did you guys move from Medicine Hat to Lake Placid because your dad got a new job on a new hockey team?
Pretty much. He was like he was like the athletic director at a college in Medicine Hat.
Okay.
And then he got a job as an AD at a college in Lake Placid.
Uh-huh.
And then the boss of the job he had in Lake Placid worked at Dartmouth in New Hampshire,
yeah,
and like hooked him up with the women's hockey coach job there.
No shit.
Yeah. So
is that what he's still doing?
Yeah. But he coaches at Yale now.
Your dad coaches at Yale?
Yeah.
Hockey?
Yeah.
Damn.
Like women's hockey.
But that's
like, he only has ever coached women's. Well, he used to coach men's, but women, he likes women's more because like it's more focused on like the technicals of hockey. It's like because you can't be physical,
right?
So it's like more about the actual
shots fired at women. But,
yeah.
I mean, hey, we're a feminist podcast here. No, I'm just kidding. I actually one of my favorite English teachers was a women's hockey player.
For real?
Yeah, in college. I forget where she went, but like she went to a pretty esteemed college for hockey.
Yeah.
That's interesting. How was your relationship with your dad? Like, is he a super competitive guy? Not like very emotional?
No, he's super emo.
Really?
Like, hell yeah. My dad's like he's a simp like I am. Like,
really?
He's really moody and shit. But like growing up, I had a straight relationship with my dad. But the only person who could ever get me really fucking mad was him, like growing
really?
Up. But another reason why I started doing music instead of sports and shit was because he was always my fucking coach. Like,
oh, yeah.
And that shit got like hella annoying. And like when I didn't like having to deal with like him being like, "No, you got to do it this way." So
right.
I was like, "Fuck this! I'm gonna just like be in punk bands." And
what
shit.
Did you play
for
hockey? What position?
I was center.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you were like, "We're very good."
Yeah,
Paul
I was
Candle
good.
And all
I was
that.
Good as
like,
shit.
You're the man.
Yeah,
that's tight, dude. I had no idea.
Yeah,
had no idea. So when you go off to that boarding school, how is that being away from the fam?
That one was. I was cool with being away from my family. But all the kids there were like rich ass, spoiled ass kids. Like women's hockey coaches don't make that much money, and social workers
wait,
get
wait,
dick.
Wait. You're telling me that women's hockey coaches don't make that much money? This is a surprising fact for me.
No,
I'm
they
just
don't.
Kidding,
all right, shut the fuck up. But yeah, so like when I went there, I would go to school with kids, like, you know that store Bloomingdale's?
Yeah, right.
Like, it would be, like, the child of that family, like, going there. Like,
yeah.
Just rich
it's
fucking...
It's like Kyle Bloomingdale.
Yeah, and I was like an emo kid who just played sports. So
yeah,
like,
how'd you get into emo music? I see the old, like, Throwback Thursdays you post, and you're, like, very MySpace era fucking bangs and everything.
Yeah, one time when I was in, like, sixth or seventh grade, my family went back to visit my family...
In
Medicine Hat, and I have an uncle whose name is Sean, and he's like my mom's stepbrother,
uh-huh.
And fucking he's like younger. He's only like 5 years older than me,
right?
And
so he seemed like a big brother.
Yeah, and he showed me two bands. He showed me Cradle of Filth and From First to Last,
uh-huh.
And From First to Last was Skrillex's old band, and then Cradle of Filth was like the first like heavy ass shit I heard. So
right.
I got into like emo and then like metal shit, and then. I was just like obsessed with it, like ever since I got into it.
When you look back at that your uncle Sean, is that do you kind of look at him as like, wow, the root of all my tastes come from this dude?
That dude and my uncle Liam, who's my dad's brother, who's
yeah.
Who's the only other person in my family with tattoos, and like he was in bands. He gave me a drum set when I was like 4 years old. And like he like taught me how to pretty much play drums when I was like really young, and like
that's
he's
dope.
My biggest supporter in my family. Like
that's dope.
Yeah,
it's like, funny. Well, because I think that you and my mentality of like hunger for new stuff is not that different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that everyone that I meet like that who's always like trying to hear new music and talk about new bands and this and that and the other, like. There's that person in their life that like that pivotal person that changed
right.
their perspective on music. And I have one just like that who was more – he was like my dad's friend who was much younger than him who kind of seemed like an older brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me like a Rage Against the Machine tape when
yeah.
I was like 10.
Yeah,
you know?
I loved and, Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, shit like that. So that's interesting that you
that,
have that guy too.
Yeah, it's those two. And the one thing my parents showed me – because they only really listen to country music, but
mm-hmm.
my dad used to like 80s rock a lot. But I remember one time I found a Green Day CD in like my car when
Dookie?
I was like – Yeah, it was Dookie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that
That's
was like the first
changer.
Punk shit I heard
yeah,
like
right.
when I was like fucking like 8 years old.
That's like the easiest like gateway to punk. Like
hell
it's
yeah.
a very palatable pop punk record that
yeah.
And then you can go like, "Well, wait, who influenced these guys?"
Yeah.
And then you like get into all the crazier shit.
Yeah, cuz like nobody really showed me rap like cuz I didn't grow up in like big like cities and shit and like all my friends
Medicine
were just,
Hat's not a big city?
No, not no. And
that
like,
shit sounds like it has a saloon in it.
Fuck no, it does for sure. That like my parents met at a bar, like
right.
But fucking, I first got into rap like aside from like Eminem and shit. Like I remember I had a, I went to like a like not like a daycare, but I had to go after like. In sixth grade, my parents made me go to, like, some
a
lady's
community
house.
Center. Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah some shit yeah, like right. that where, like, I would be watched until my parents
right,
got off
right,
work.
I feel you.
And she had, she had like, BET, and I would watch BET, and during that time, crunk music was super
yeah.
big. So my first, like, favorite rappers were, like, Ying Yang Twins.
Hell
and then,
yeah.
like, Lil Jon and shit like
right.
that.
You're like, hey, hey, mama, let me whisper.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then, like, Kanye and shit I really like, too, but... Yeah, that shit was funny.
So, how long were you in the emo phase? Like, was that all the way through high school?
All the way through high school, like, for sure. Like, and in college, too. Because then we moved to Wisconsin. I went to college there for a bit. But I still really love it. But definitely, like, all through high school, I was
yeah.
super into it.
Did you, like, finally give up on hockey? Was there, like, a year where you're like, I'm done with this?
Well, it was, like, my parents really wanted me to play college hockey.
Yeah.
And I was just like, nah, like, I don't want to anymore.
But did you get scouted by colleges?
No, but I could have played for, like, because my dad moved to become the women's hockey coach at St. Norbert College, which is, like, in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So we moved there, and I was good enough to be on that team. But
right.
for the men's side, but I just was like,
oh, you
fuck
wouldn't have
that.
Played for the girls?
Yeah, exactly. Again,
for the mid side.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How did you like school?
Like high school and shit.
Just like school in general. Were you a book guy?
No, not at all.
Were
like
you just didn't like school?
No, I liked going to school, but
the social
I didn't,
aspect.
Yeah, like I was really social. I was friends with like everybody. I was still, like, the people connector back then.
I was going to say, like, knowing your role kind of in the scene nowadays, I would imagine that you probably had friends in every different kind
yeah,
of
like,
social group.
Yeah, like, even, like, the jocks to the emo kids to, like, the people who, like, go hunting and, like drive big trucks and shit like that.
Right.
Like, there was a lot of, like, hick-type people.
You just got
along
with everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I bet when you look back in, like, even now, you could probably go, like, oh, hey, man, you hunter guy that, like, has never talked to this nerd guy, you guys actually
yeah.
would probably be very similar and would like each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, no, I liked school. I really liked English and, like, I just hated fucking math. Like, I always hated math. But aside from that, I was okay in school. Like, I didn't do, like, the fucking best. But
yeah.
I'm not a dumbass. Like, I just hated – I hated, like, tests and shit. Like, I would get, like, anxious and shit when I would take them.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that we kick it all the time leisurely. But I picture you now as a bit of a party animal. Is that accurate?
It's, like, kind of accurate. Yeah, pretty accurate.
Were you an early party animal?
Yeah.
When did you start?
Well, I remember when I went to that prep school, that was the first time I ever drank and smoked weed.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to like sneak off campus. And I remember like, there was like a girl whose mom was like the art teacher. And so her apartment was like right there. Cause she was like the only local. Cause that town had only like 2,000 people. And it was like,
this sounds like that movie Providence.
Really?
I don't know if you've
ever seen
it.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Alec Baldwin, shout out.
Oh, shit. I got to see that. But no, that was the first time I drank and smoked weed. And the first thing I drank was such pussy shit. It was like a wine cooler.
Yeah.
And I was like,
that's everybody's first time.
Yeah, I was like so shit-faced off like three of those. And then I never liked weed, really. Like, I never got into weed.
Really?
Yeah. Like
still to this day?
Yeah, like I'll smoke it every now and then if my friends are like, bro, hit this. I'll like be like, all right, whatever. But I just like, I get high and I can't not be high until I pass out for some reason.
Huh.
But I became like, I got way too into drinking like after that. Like, I remember the only time I ever really got in trouble in school, like for real, was because I would be like drunk as shit in school.
In
like,
school?
Yeah.
What, like taking a water bottle full of vodka or something?
Exactly. It would be like a water bottle full of vodka. Like I would be drinking on my way to school. Like, and I was on the hockey team, like everybody drank.
Mm-hmm.
So I would sometimes just get shit faced before practice. Like it kind of became like a problem too. But it probably still is low key. But fucking no, I just like partying like. And there wasn't really, like, house parties. There was, like, two, I remember. And one of them, I I definitely got alcohol poisoning. I remember like only being at the party for 30 minutes and then I passed out on the grass with my shirt off and was eating grass apparently. Like Jesus. A fucking
like a dog does to something. Make himself feel better.
Yeah, some shit like that.
Wow.
And then I woke up and like had never felt that shitty in my whole life.
That sounds terrible. So when you say it became a problem, like, I mean, do you look back at times where you're like, oh, I was like out of control, alcoholic piece of shit?
No, not really. I just think I always like to be drunk. Like, I don't think it really, like...
that sounds like an alcoholic.
It never really, like, fucks up... Like, yeah, it hasn't super, like, fucked up relationships with people and shit like that. People are just, like... I don't know, because I'm not, like, a mean drunk, like, at all. I'm pretty, like, happy and fun. I might get a little emotional, but I don't think, like... I don't know.
Emotional how, like, yeah, you cry when you're on alcohol?
No. But if a girl makes me sad and I'm drunk, I'll be, like, a huge simp about it, but...
You and Romo.
Yeah, Romo too. Like, me and Romo are definitely similar.
You guys are kindred spirits.
I don't wake up and, like, crave alcohol.
Right,
like,
totally.
If I'm out and I'm drinking, like, I'll be shit-faced.
Right.
But
right.
I don't, like, crave shit. Like, I don't have withdrawals and shit.
So weed is not your drug of choice?
No.
More of an upper guy or what?
I hate weed, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I really like acid and, like, mushrooms.
I used to love acid as well.
Yeah. Because I was late to it. Like, I didn't do it yet until... Last year around this time.
Last year's your first time?
Yeah, at 23, yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
Man, I went through a big phase when I was 19 doing it. And, it was troublesome. I did it quite a bit. My first time ever, I got arrested.
For real?
Yeah, I've told that story on here before, so you could go back and find it
I'll find it.
But it was, it was funny. Like, it was, and actually getting arrested was, like, the best part of the trip. It was so,
really?
It was so awesome. For some reason, I knew I was just going to get off, and, like,
right.
It felt safe. And because of that, like, it was fine. And it was, like, the most trippy part was, like, them giving the tests and everything. What was your first acid trip like? Usually these stories are kind of goofy, but.
It was so cool. Like, I was in DC like last year. I had left LA for a few months to take care of my mom because she had like a back surgery. So, and she was living in Connecticut, which is only like a 40-minute train ride from like New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And then like if you get to New York, you can get to DC, Philly, like everywhere. So I was traveling a lot because I had a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in DC. And I met. That's when I met like Nappy Napa and Khan and all these people.
Right.
Shout out all of them.
Shout out Nappy.
Yep. Yeah. But basically, like, I went to Link with Khan, and he gave me acid for the first time. And it was the night I had a show with them and Wi-Fi God and Show Me the Body, which is a super tight punk band.
Yeah.
And, I just took it, like, before the show and then, like, had, like, the best show of my life. Was
really?
Just, like, good trip, like, smiling the whole time. And then after, went to, like... this crazy ass house party, and like it wasn't, I don't know if this was my acid, but I swear when I looked at the sky it was like pink as fuck, and like I was like, oh my god, this is so beautiful. It was just like typical, like,
did you I always say that, like, when you're on acid, you kind of like learn something about the mysteries of the world, but then by the next day you forget them. Like, the world makes sense to you.
I definitely remember like thinking I was figuring a lot of shit out, and I remember meeting like hella cool people that I'm still really good friends with to this day, like, that night.
That's perfect.
Like, I remember that night, like completely. It was super fucking fun. And then I went back to Khan's apartment and made, like, my favorite beat I've ever made.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good experience then.
Yeah, it was super cool. Like, the second time I did it was, like, on July 4th last year, and that was... It was funny shit, but it ended, like, terrible because I think I took way too much, and then I just remember, like, freaking out. Like,
oh, yeah. A bad trip is a hard thing to get out of. For some reason, I never had a bad acid trip, but I would always have bad mushroom trips. Mm-hmm. Like, I've tried mushrooms, like, maybe 10 times, and every single time ended up bad.
I like acid way more than mushrooms.
I do, too, and people think I'm crazy for saying that. They're like, oh, mushrooms come from the earth, and I go, that's fine, but they make me feel like shit regardless.
Yeah.
After New Hampshire and you guys moved to Wisconsin, you go to college for a while, right?
Yeah, I went to St. Norbert for like a year.
And this is where I think around the time that you enter my life, I believe, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Because I met Milo Rory.
Yeah.
And
shout out Milo.
We met on a Facebook group like Class of 2014, St. Norbert College.
Right.
And then – He used to live in New Hampshire too,
So you guys had that in common.
Yeah, he hit me up like on there, and he was like, "Yo, like I used to live there. Like we both like rap. Like what's good?"
Yeah.
And then
how could he tell that you liked rap? Were you like posting about it?
Yeah, because we became Facebook friends and just like seeing each other, what each other was posting and shit.
Right. What kind of rap were you into at that point?
I was super into like Tribe and like De La Soul and like that's when I really got into like. I was late on that shit too, but I got really into 90s rap.
Like, everybody goes through that phase though. That's like your gateway. Like you have to kind of learn the basics before you get into the avant-garde in a lot of instances.
Like I was late. Like he was the one who really put me on a Doom like a lot. And then now he's like one of my favorite rappers. But yeah, I got to the school, was living in a dorm. He was living in one too. We didn't really become friends though, like for real, until – he needed like a booking agent and like because we were like okay, people aren't going to take us serious if we're the artist hitting up the venues and the promoters. Let's make a fucking fake management email and I'll just pretend I'm a real booking agent.
Right.
And I did and it worked.
And so this is around the time like what I Wish My Brother Rob
was here. Yeah, 2011. Yeah. Like this was right after that drop because like that – and before that he was in Nom de Rap, which was like a trio with Nicholas J and like Nicholas J's brother. Uh-huh. And that was like, that came out right when I got to college. And I was like, bro, you're fucking sick at rapping.
Right.
And I was rapping too, but I sucked ass. But I always tried to do shit with him, but it never happened. But yeah, after,
where are you at with rapping right now? Are you back to rapping again?
I made a song like a few months ago, but I'm more focused on producing and DJing. Like that's my lane.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, fucking after that, after I Wish My Brother Rob Was Here, it dropped. I pretended I was his booking agent, and I was the one with a car. So we would just do shows all the time, like every weekend in Wisconsin and like Chicago.
Well, tell people that's a great like that's a great little hustle, and that's a great like getting it done against all odds type of thing. Or like, oh, we don't have this. How can I fix that problem? And I think a lot of the people that generally email me about stuff like what should I do, they don't think that way. So kind of tell me just. What was your thought process? I understand that you wanted to start because you couldn't get a booking agent. So it's like, let's just be our own booking agent. So like, what was the email that you started and like, how would you reach out to people?
I always wanted to get into management and that side of shit too. But I found out about a website called like Indie on the Move or like Indie on the Run or something.
Yeah.
And it was a website that listed every venue in every city and it showed capacity and like rent prices and all that shit.
Yeah.
So I would just go on there and like find contact info and I would just be like, yo, this is who we are. Like we have this idea for a lineup, whatever, like see what kind of deal we can work with. And it worked. We got denied hella times or didn't get responses. But
right, you got to hear 100 no's before you hear a yes.
Yeah, but we got enough to like set up like our own shows like every time.
That's and dope. Then,
yeah.
And so you guys start touring that Midwest area?
Yeah, we were just like – it would just be like weekend runs and
like
shit.
Spot like spot dates.
Like, yeah, it would be like Minneapolis, Chicago, Milwaukee, Madison, like and all the college towns.
So would you DJ for Rory?
No, they always DJ'd themselves.
Oh, okay.
I ran merch. I would sell the shirts, and then I like dealt with the money shit.
Right.
And then
and you were the
he
driver.
Would like break me off a bit, and then like he would pay for gas and shit.
Right.
So like, yeah.
And so how did that start? Did that start going good? Like, were you guys starting to?
That's when we became like best friends because we're always in the car together.
Right. Right.
Like always in the car together and fucking. But yeah, I went to St. Norbert, fucking met him. After a year, I got kicked out because, like, math fucked me. And, like, they were like, yeah, you have to – if you want to come back, you have to go to community college and then, like, get better grades and then come back.
Right.
So I was working, like, shitty jobs, like, at, like, Five Guys and, like, was a janitor in between those times. And, like, I've always been working, too. But, like, I went to a community college, tried to go back, only stayed for it one semester. And then that's when me and Rory, like, we had already been doing this shit for a long time. We got a house together, like, in Green Bay. And, like, that's when we just, like, that's when I started doing the old Ned's Place shit. That's right around the time he got signed to Hellfire. And that's when I started, like, taking it way more seriously because I was watching him become, like, a real-life rapper independently. Like,
right.
You know, like, he, right. Like, Milo is, like, the best example of, like, how to be an independent artist. Like, if anybody like wants to check out his shit, like go do that. But
yeah. Milo was the fifth guest we ever had on the show. Episode number five is Milo.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the first ways I heard about I had started hearing about him because, like, you know, James and Reagan, a bus driver, were like talking about him and stuff. And then at the same time, we started having dialogues back and forth on Facebook. It was kind of like, hey, yo, I'm like Rory's homie and I manage him kind of or whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I want to start a podcast. And that's when you started Ned's Place.
Yeah.
And you just told me this little anecdote while we were here. But what was my advice to you?
Best advice Lee ever gave me was don't ask for advice. Just figure it out. Like, it's not hard to figure out whatever you're trying to do. The worst thing you could do is ask somebody, like, who you absolutely don't know. Like, I get it. Ask somebody for advice here and there. But, it's just, like, a long stretch to ask somebody you absolutely have no fucking idea, like, who they are personally. They don't know you. Like, just do it. Just figure it out. Like, you'll get it.
That's I've given that advice to a million fucking people who have gotten offended by it. You know what I'm saying? And the difference, the difference between them and you is that, like, you took that advice of, like, don't ask for advice.
Right.
And you did it. And, and you're figuring it out. And now, like, you know, I was just telling you off air, like, everybody in LA knows who Ned is. And that's because you just fucking figure out how to do shit.
Right.
Period.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. Yeah, most definitely. So, yeah, you started Ned's Place and you started getting, like, pretty good interviews, yeah?
Yeah, I was doing, like, Skype interviews with pretty much all my local friends. Yeah. And then I did one that kind of popped off with this kid named Eric Dingus, who was like an old Raider Clan producer. He kind of had like a similar vibe to Clams Casino.
Right.
So he became like my favorite producer along with Clams and Suicide Ear because they all made really like kind of ambient, wavy, like trap beats. Mm-hmm. And like it was just like a cool mix of like ambient music and shit with trap shit. And that's like what made me want to make beats. But yeah, that interview like took off or whatever. Like I used to think 3,000 plays was like a lot.
Right.
And after that, I completely like quit school, whatever. Me and Roy started talking about like moving to LA and shit.
At that time, I asked this and we kind of brushed past it, but was the Midwestern following starting to get pretty strong for Rory?
Yeah.
Like were shows doing well?
Yeah. Cause it definitely was, especially, The summer following us having the house in Green Bay, we had moved to Milwaukee, and that's kind of like the hub of where rap is.
Yeah, I think that's when we started talking back and forth. You were like, "Yeah, I live in Milwaukee."
Yeah,
so I think that's around the time that I must have met you.
Yeah, exactly. I was in Milwaukee, and we had only lived there. I had only lived there for a summer. I was like subletting from a friend just for the summer, but yeah, we started to get a local following, but like, it wasn't like enough. Like it wasn't as strong as we wanted it. Like people slept on us for so long out there.
Yeah.
Cause they just thought his shit was too like weird and different. And like he's rapping like not like anybody else. It's more.
Right. You know, it was kind of very free form. He wasn't really putting his rhymes like in the pocket where they would normally go. It was kind of a let the
it's
rhythm
loose.
Take me. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was very kind of spoken wordy.
But every time we did shows, like hella people would come out. We started doing like that's when I was rapping too. We would do this one called the Baby Bash, Shorty a Baby Bash. And the reason we called it that, we would do it like once a month. I don't know if you know who the rapper F. Stokes is.
No.
He's like a rapper in Minneapolis or from, he was based out there for a second. Yeah. But that's the first rapper I ever had rap beef with.
Oh.
Way back in the day. Fuck F. Stokes. Basically, we were at a show
first
in Madison for like some show they had every year at the college there. And my friend Webster X was performing. And F. Stokes was performing too. And I was getting off the stage after Webster's set and F. Stokes was about to come on. And I guess I was like in the way of Stokes when he was like walking up. Yeah. Some shit like that. Like we ran into each other and he was like, yo, watch out. And I just spazzed on him cause I was drunk as shit. And then he told Rory, he was like, yo, control your man, Shorty a baby. So like, he called me, he said, Shorty a baby. And then we just started throwing these shows. Like we would rent out an art space and we would that's what I started doing. I would throw shows all the time.
Yeah.
And, Yeah.
Because we talked about that early on, too. You're like, yo, what do I do? And I would tell you, like, yo, my friends just, like, rent warehouses.
Yeah, literally. You know? And I took that, and I was like, that's literally what I did.
Yeah.
I would figure out, like, where to just throw shit, and we would do it. And that's when I also
I remember having conversations with you about, like, yo, you have to, like, charge money for beer. Like, that's where you make your money on the beer, dude. Like, trust me.
Yeah, and I did. Like, I remember being like, damn, that's sketchy.
Right.
But it's not sketchy out here, but there it kind of was. Right. But
that's so funny. I remember having that conversation, like, no, I don't know, it's illegal. Then I go, dude, trust me, like you have to, or else you're gonna lose money.
You probably were laughing, like he just doesn't know. But around that time, after I lived in Milwaukee, I moved back to Green Bay where my family was, because my lease ended in Milwaukee. So I was in Green Bay, and none of my friends were in Green Bay. They stayed in Milwaukee.
Right.
So I was like super fucking depressed, and like I didn't know what the fuck I was going to do, because I wasn't around like my music friends, and like I wasn't in college. And I was just like, I remember I was like, I was living in my parents' basement.
Just kind of lost.
Yeah, I was just like lost as shit. And then like I met this chick on Facebook. And I'm not going to say her name, but
Shawty a baby bash.
Yeah. I'll call her Z. So basically, me and this girl Z met on Facebook via a mutual friend named Ian Carroll, who goes by Hitman. He's the dude who taught me how to make beats.
Uh-huh.
And she had lived in Madison, and she, like, I just thought she was hella fucking cool.
Yeah.
I ended up moving to Madison, or no, I would go see her. I was working at a sandwich shop, and I was doing that Monday through Friday, and every weekend I would drive to see her in Milwaukee, Madison, like a 2-hour drive.
Yeah.
There and back, there and back, there and back. I eventually moved to Madison. This was around like January of 2014. She raps, and then my friend Ian taught me how to make beats. So she was kind of a reason why I wanted to start producing, because she rapped and shit.
Yeah.
And like, that's when I got into like clams and shit. So he showed me how to use Ableton like one day when I was in Madison. And then after that, I like taught myself, and I lived in Madison for a bit. Then me and her broke up. And then the next day, Roy hit me up. He's like, yo, me and Alex and Brandon, our other homies, we're moving to LA in 2 days. And I was like, word, like I just broke up with my girlfriend. I'm going, like, what the fuck? Like, of course. And I had a car, and so did they. And we like literally, I packed up all my shit. I left that apartment. Like, I didn't tell any of my roommates in Madison, because I was subletting, and like I didn't really give a fuck. And we just drove to LA, and like I had never been here before. Like, we started with 2 cars.
Yeah.
In Kansas, my car dies. I have to throw away like half my shit, and then we packed in 4 deep in like this other car with all our fucking belongings.
Yeah.
And then and we come to LA.
That's so that's such a ballsy maneuver, I guess. Maybe like a not fully thought through maneuver.
No, not at all.
But I'll tell you, out of everybody that moved out, I was like, I bet Brayden has the best chance of like staying out here. You know what I mean? What happens when you move to LA?
Oh, well, go ahead. Even I'm going to backtrack.
Yeah, please do.
Maybe like 3 months before this LA move, I tried to move to Seattle because me and her broke up again like 3 months before. And I had a homie, Evan. Rest in peace, Evan. He's my best friend ever. Fucking, he was living in Seattle at the time. He OD'd on heroin last year.
Oh,
yeah.
That's terrible.
While I was in D.C., which is another reason I have a very strong connection to D.C., around the time I did acid, it was really weird. But anyways, no, it's all good now. But he was a painter, and like he produced, and he lived in Seattle. And if I didn't move to L.A., I was like, oh, that seems like a real artistic hub.
Seattle's cool.
And so I drove from Wisconsin to Seattle by myself, and then without a license, like my license was suspended. And I got there and I lived there for like 2 weeks. And then his roommates were like, yeah, Evan, you didn't tell us he was going to move here. So I had to drive back. And then, 2 months later, moved to L.A. When I get here, we didn't have anywhere to stay for like 2 weeks, because we had apartment showings. We set them up. But I met Horsehead first. He was the first person I met in L.A. because I was a huge fan of his beats.
Mm-hmm.
He produced for Black Cray. And, like, I just hit him up on some fan shit. Like, yo, I'm moving out here. Like, let's hang out. Let's link. And, like, he literally was the only person to, like, want to link.
Right. Well, I remember you telling me, like, oh, I'm moving out here. Like, let me intern for you. And I'm going, like, you could, but I don't have, like, any, there's no work to do.
Right,
like,
right.
I'm like, I don't do shit. Like, I just work on this twice a week and it's very fast. And plus, I just feel bad, like, not paying people. Like, I'm going to pay people. But anyway. So you hit up Horsehead and he's like,
let's hit up Horsehead. Me and my friends stayed in the hotel for a few nights. I was like, we actually met at your show, Speak.
Oh, at the Troubadour?
Yeah.
That's where you and Horsehead met?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. I was like, yo, my friend's playing this show. Like,
did I meet him that night?
I think you did. But
had he already put out that song that I liked at the time?
No, he didn't put that out yet.
Oh, okay.
This is when he was still primarily a producer. He sang he did a project with this kid named Ghost. Not Ghost Man, but Ghost.
Yeah.
And, that was at that time. And we met at that show. We got super drunk. And then we were like, let's go get some chicks. Like, let's go out to the bars.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know West Hollywood was like the super gay area of LA,
which is
tight as fuck. But we were like looking for chicks
in the wrong neighborhood.
We're just like going out.
You guys were looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah, we were just like, I think we're not where we wanted to be to find girls.
Right.
And then, we just got drunk. I crashed at his house. And then I was like, yo, I'm with like a group of like three people, like, can we crash at your place for like a week? And like, I literally just asked him. He was like, yeah. It ended up being like 2 weeks and like everything was super chill. Like he bought me food on his EBT and shit. And
what a guy.
That's when I was already making beats and I had already been working with a few people.
Are you guys the same age though?
No, Horsehead's 27, I think.
Oh, fucking.
He's like 27 or 28.
Way to put him on blast, the real age.
No, he's said it before. Well, I'm 24, so he was a few years older, but... That's when I was living with him, I gave him the beat Numb. I remember
that's the song I'm talking about, Numb. Yeah. I fucking to this day love that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That song changed the game, I think, low key.
Dude, we were supposed to grow up together. We were supposed to glow up together.
Yep. It's amazing.
I really love that song. If you guys haven't heard Horsehead Numb, just Google that now and just look it up. Pause the episode, go to YouTube. It's got a video and all that. It's the most beautiful trap emo song you ever heard.
Yeah, for real. Yeah,
so go ahead.
But funny thing about that song is that beat was made when I was in Wisconsin. That beat was originally for Bones. And I don't really fuck with Bones like that, musically. But I was like, I wonder if I could make like this emo guitar beat and send it to him because he would always do shit with Grief, who makes guitar shit. And he didn't use it. So I was like, I remember I was at Horsehead's house. I was like, I'm going to go to the store. Like, I'm leaving my computer here. All these beats are unused. Like, check them out.
Yeah.
I get back from whatever errand I was running, and he had picked it out and already made the song. He just recorded it on the MacBook. Like,
no shit. Mike.
Yeah.
Speaking of Bones, I have like one quick anecdote about a conversation that you and I had where I was like, where I kind of, it was a moment that dawned on me of like, oh, I need to have like, I need to have little homies to like tell me what's cool now because I'm not young anymore.
Right.
Was you were like, yo, this dude Bones is coming out to Wisconsin or whatever, and I want to throw a party, but it's this, that, and the other. And I go, and they're like, you're like, what size venue should I have? And I said, fuck, I don't know, man. How many people do you think? And you're like, oh man, he's selling like 400 cap venues, like warehouses. And I go, that's not true. He lives in LA. And I'm like, and I've never even heard of him in our scene. Like, if that were the case, like, I would have heard of him by now.
Right.
And you're like, no, it's true. It's true. And then he came to Wisconsin and you're like, and dude, fucking 400 people came or whatever.
That's when I was at that same art space because I really liked Wolf's music a lot and like, and Chris Travis and Eddie and shit, but they were all touring together as a piece. So
I booked Sesh Hollow Waterboys.
And it sold out. Yeah. It was like one of the first, I think it was the first Sesh Hollow Waterboys tour.
That's fun. Yeah, it was. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was one of those moments where when you told me how it went, I went, oh, I'm like out of touch.
Yeah. And then he's now one of the biggest underground.
Those guys are fucking huge. Shout out Sesh Hollow Waterboys. Very cool people. So you meant to send that to Bones, but it ends up in Chris's
I send it to him, but he just dodged it for whatever reason.
So when you heard Numb for the first time, how did you feel?
I loved it, dude. It was like the coolest shit I'd ever heard. I never made like emo shit with somebody before.
Right. What's that sample?
It's Giving Up by Silverstein, which is an emo band I used to listen to all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tight, dude. That's kind of your steez, right? You sample emo guitar riffs essentially and then just kind of flip them.
Yeah. Like I have a few different styles. I like to make like, shit with just nostalgic, like, emo samples of people when they hear it that you grew up on that shit.
Right, Postal Service.
Yeah, Postal Service, Armor for Sleep, like, from first to last, like, a bunch of shit. But, and then I like to make, like, heavy shit, like, with Ghostman, who's in the other room.
Shout out Ghostman.
And yeah, I don't know, but that stuff stuck the most with, like, my producer name, like, NetArb shit. Like, it was definitely, like, which is definitely, like, what kind of manifested what is, like, Goth Boy Click right now.
Mm-hmm.
His Goth Boy. And I totally fucking forgot. Like, when I first came out here, I joined Thrax House.
Yeah, let's do that, and then we'll get to Goth Boy Click. So, because the stuff with Chris obviously starts going well. Like, you guys make that song Numb. That starts to get its own little buzz. And you guys, join Thrax House, right?
Yeah, because, like, I'd sent beats to Kinaata and MacNed when I lived in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Two Seattle rappers.
Yeah. So Thrax House was in Seattle. There was only a few members. It was like BB Sun, Kinaata, MacNed, Sneak Guapo.
And also have, like, loose ties to one of our previous guests, Nacho Picasso.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, shout out. So it's all a very small world.
Because they were from – he was in Morgang, in MacNed's old Morgang.
Okay.
I sent them this beat, and they were like, bro, we want you in this collective as a producer. Like, and I was like, worried. But I ended up – when I moved to L.A., there were some members who had moved down too. And, like, they had eventually, like, moved into the crib I had in Boyle Heights and shit. But, yeah, I introduced Chris to Key and MacNed, and they added him. And then I linked Horsehead with Coldheart, because when Coldheart used to be in Sesh. And I actually introduced Coldheart to Bones, too. And no they shit. Were in the same group and never met.
Really?
So, like, I think that's when Thrax House became a thing for Coldheart. He was like, these are my actual bros in real life. Like, right. I'm going to join Thrax.
Because he's from out in Long Beach.
He's from Long Beach.
So he would just travel up to LA and kick
come,
it.
Yeah, he would come every weekend.
Right. Tell me about this house in Boyle Heights, because it's a thing of legend.
That shit,
like,
is crazy.
I remember you telling me, like, oh, yeah, we all moved into a house. It was like, what, 10 of you? Eight of you?
It was deep. Like, at first it was four, because it was me and the three homies I moved in with. Then since I just broke up with my girlfriend, I was being a thirsty bitch. And I was hitting up girls from, like, out of state.
Right.
One of them...
But you're trying to Drake these girls.
Yeah. Like. One of them, like, had moved to L.A. I was like, yeah, you can crash with me till, like, you get a crib.
Hmm.
She ends up never getting a crib. So there's...
That
now
just
there's
became,
five.
Like, your live-in girlfriend or what?
Well, not even girlfriend. We never did anything. Oh. She kind of just finessed me to, like, move
right.
to L.A.
Right.
She has her friend move in. And didn't tell me, and I was like, wait, hold up, what's going on? So now there's two extra people. It's six people. Then it gets kind of sus. One of our roommates leaves, goes back to Wisconsin. Horsehead takes his place. And then, and this is around the same time I found Young Bruh, like, who's Lil Tracy now.
Right.
He was living in VA.
Wait, so hold on. The one thing I want to say about this is all of this is taking place in Boyle Heights, which
all
is
of it in Boyle Heights.
A super localized, non-gentrified area that's probably not welcoming to a bunch of hipster kids,
no,
I would imagine.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
We didn't know. We had a four-bedroom for $1,800.
Right.
I didn't know where I was moving. I just found the cheapest place.
Right. For context, for those of you listening, a four-bedroom apartment for $1,800 in Los Angeles is like a unicorn. That's non-existent.
That's
so I picture the pictures of Craigslist. It must have looked like just a fucking broken-down warehouse.
It didn't look that bad. It was like – it was on the second floor of a duplex, and we had parking, a front yard and shit. But like it was on like the first week we moved in, there was a homicide like two houses down.
Right.
Like, it was a sketchy-ass neighborhood for sure.
Right.
And plus like they – in that area, they like hated all my black friends. Like they would get shit. And then my Spanish and like Hispanic and all my friends like that, they weren't from that area, so they would always get banged on.
Right.
But me being like a white dude, like they didn't really fuck with me like that much. Like I didn't really get shit ever. I only got gang banged on like twice.
Huh.
But
only twice.
Only twice.
So yeah, let's not skip over this. How do you find Lil Bruh?
Young Bruh.
Sorry, Lil Tracy. My bad. Yeah, I just know I get names confused.
I found him through another thirsty simp thing I did. There was a girl from Fresno who I was fucking with who came down to visit me, and she stayed with me for the weekend. And
she's like,
she
got to hear Young Bruh.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, no, not really.
Okay.
I'm going to put her on blast right now because we're cool now. Her name's Zootleg. She's a really tight artist. Yeah. And he used to like spam her wall low key.
On
Facebook. Oh, okay. Not spam it, but he posted a link on her wall to this song called I'm Coming. And I was like just with her, like as she was checking her Facebook. And I was like, wait, what is Young Bruh? Like, what the fuck kind of a name is that? And I clicked it, and it ended up being like the coolest shit I had heard in like forever. Like, cause he was like singing, rapping too, and was like kind of melodic and shit. And then he just had bars. Like, he was just the coolest shit to me. And that was when he was like 17. And then when he turned 18, he moved like to LA. Cause I was like, bro, join Thrax House. He joins. Everybody joins. Like,
does he move into Boyle Heights too?
He moves into Boyle Heights. He sleeps on the couch, like on the futon.
And this is Young Bruh that later becomes Lil Tracy, who now has like what, fucking 100,000 Instagram followers and shit, like popping.
This is when he had probably 90 followers on Twitter.
Yeah,
and like I was just riding for him. I still am, like,
right.
And we dropped this tape called Emotion. I helped him produce pretty much all of it, and then like hooked him up with features from like Cray and like Eddie Baker and shit way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's when I put like even Wolf and Chris Travis and them were fucking with him way back then, because I had a car and I would always pick him up and play that shit. But yeah, so now it's like deep in the crib. We got Tracy on the couch. Then we got BB Sun, who moves in with his girlfriend in one of the rooms. So now he was another Thrax House member. And then we had my homie Kenai Ada like stay with us for a long time. And it even got to a point where that people put, like, we had a homie Mal too. He was in Thrax House. He was a videographer. And fucking he just put a bed in the kitchen. Like got to that point. Like, we had a tent that like somebody was
in
sleeping
in the yard?
No, we had a tent in a room.
Wow.
Rory used to live in, like, he put a tent in to like troll, but that tent ended up being like a living area.
Wow.
And then there was a couch, a bed in the, like, we were deep. Like, we just didn't care. We were just like, we were glad to even be here. Now I can't live like that.
Right. Well, so that's the thing. Living like that, I'm sure, alienates some people. So I know you and Rory moved down together as very close friends, but did he feel welcomed in that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why he moved. Cause he was like it was pretty shady of like me. Like, I just had all my friends come.
Yeah.
And like, I fucked up cause I didn't really tell Rory and them like everything that I had planned.
And he's probably, I mean, knowing the both
he's
of you,
he's an introvert.
He's a little different than you. He's like, he's introverted.
I'm like the
socialized dude. He's very thinker. He's, you know, he's in his own head, and you're kind of just like, hey, everybody, fucking, I love everybody. Come hang out, right?
So he and Alex and Brandon, they had moved back to Wisconsin. I was like, that's straight. Like, I have people that can sublet.
Yeah.
Turns out, like, not everybody could come up with money all the time.
Of course.
So, like, but during that time, bro, like, I was also going to school at Woodbury University.
Where's that?
It's in Burbank. I was going for media and communications.
Yeah.
That went really well, low-key. I was getting really good grades. But at the same time, this was the most productive house, like, I'd ever lived in. Like, we were making songs and songs and songs every day. Like, this album, Gimme by Bolo Neff. We had just dropped Emotion. We were working on a Thrax House tape. This is when Horsehead dropped his first project. Like, we were so active, like, all the time. But that shit eventually, like, fell apart because I couldn't keep up with, like, covering rent and shit. And, like, because not everybody was working. I had jobs, too. I was working at Starbucks and shit. So I just, like, moved back to Wisconsin for a bit and then came back.
Well, before we get too far along in the chronology of everything, I have, like, philosophical question. Not philosophical.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what kind of question this is, but – like, when you hear things, like, for example, Young Bruh, right, before it's, like, the Lil Tracy that everybody knows, what is it about that, like, catches your ear, where I think most people would see a spam post on a Facebook wall and go, you know, fuck this. Like, I get a million spam emails per day, like, and I listen for 1 second, and I go, well, this ain't it. Like, what is it about that? Because I'm sure it was lo-fi. I'm sure recording quality was terrible. Like, what was the it that you heard?
I don't know. It was
what
just
is
like,
the it that you hear in general?
It's just when something's so unique and, like, new and fresh and, like, I don't think hella shit sounds like it at that point. And, like, his name just caught me. He was smart with his name. Like, Young Bruh is a crazy, weird.
It's almost meta. Like, yeah. It's almost like a spoof name.
Yeah, it's like Lil Big or like something like, you know, Lil Young. Like, so it was just funny. So he caught me with the name. And then just the music was like super, it was just dark as fuck.
Yeah.
The beat slapped. He wasn't like rapping like da 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 da. Like he was like, it was like, I used to be a clone now, I'm home now. Like he was rapping like that, like melodic and shit. It was just super cool and I just wanted everybody to hear
it. And I'm only using him as an example because you just brought him up. But I mean, there are 100 acts like this. Like right now, let's keep it 100. Like you're the plug to like all of us older media dudes who goes like, hey, this guy, have you heard him yet? Hey, this guy, have you, like, whether it be Peep, like you've been fucking with Peep longer than anybody that I know personally.
I showed Wickaphase Peep.
Right. So like Wickaphase is another one. Like I had barely started hearing his name pop up and you were like already in a crew with him or something. Yeah. You know
what
I'm saying?
He was in Thrax House too.
Right. Yep. And so I just like it's not some fluke. Like you're out here really finding things. So I'm just
and I
curious,
don't really like, look like right. I swear it just like I think I just attract shit that like I feel like I'm a gateway to music being spread. Like I don't really go out and look for shit. I don't YouTube search. I don't SoundCloud search. Something will pop up and I'll know it needs to be heard. So I just tell everybody that's around me about it.
Right. Right.
And that's how like most like a lot of my friends have met and shit. And I didn't even do it on purpose. I'm just like, I think y'all would be tight. Like if you did a song, if you don't do a song, I think y'all would be cool. Like, and that's how a lot of cool, some of the best music like has been made.
Right.
Cause not everybody likes to just reach out to other people as an artist. Like it is easier when there's a mutual friend that can be like, yo, I'm fucking with both of y'all. Like,
that's your
like
new,
as a co-sign, you know what I mean?
That should be your new producer name, Ned the Mutual Friend.
Ned the Mutual. That would be tight. I'm definitely a mutual for like.
Yeah, you're the spoon that stirs the pot. And I mean, there are more than a couple podcasts that wouldn't exist without your input.
Right.
You know?
I love that I can be that. Like, I really pride myself in that.
Yeah, you're the guy behind the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very important just piece of the puzzle in scenes in general. What I've found over the years is that it's hard to monetize that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to, like, just put a price on cool and put a price on a good year. And I'm sure, like, as you get older, you'll find that as well. But you're smart enough to where you'll fucking get past it.
Right.
So.
Like, I still kind of think it would be cool to be an A&R, but I think labels are kind of dead.
I used to think that as well. And that was a dream of mine for many, many years. But from all my A&R friends that I know, it's like, if you didn't get in the game, if you didn't get in the door when you're 19 and like, you know, start working your way up that corporate ladder, then it's almost like, you know, you're better off starting your own thing.
Right. Exactly.
So I don't know. But yeah, so Thrax House is like very literally
active.
Becomes a Thrax House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a thing.
But then you move back to Wisconsin and I remember you hitting me up going like, oh, you know, I'm going to go take a break.
Yeah.
Go home
for
a little bit.
I left Thrax House, me and my, and another stupid thing I did when I was living in Bull Heights is I got back with the girl who I had broken up with to move to LA.
Mm.
And she came and moved in with me. So like that fucked up everything. Like, cause me and her fought all the time. And then that took away time from me, with my music and my friends.
Right.
Cause she was an artist and she was mad that I had like,
that you were popping.
Well, yeah. And cause I had added two other girls to Thrax House. And I never asked her to be in it. So she felt some type of way about that. Cause she was being salty as fuck. And like, that shit was whack to me, but like she had moved back to Wisconsin. I couldn't keep up with rent. I moved back. I just take a break. Like, I link with Rory again.
How was it when you moved back?
It was like really fucking weird.
Are your folks
man.
Out there in Wisconsin?
No, my dad actually. This is a whole other thing.
Did your folks divorce?
No.
Oh, okay.
My dad just moved to China like 3 days ago
to coach women's hockey.
Yeah, for the Chinese national team.
Because
it's finally taking off out there. They probably suck because, like, he's about to end his job at Yale.
Yeah.
He's only been there for, like, a year.
Right.
And, Yeah, he just moved to China, but
damn, that's a whole other you're going to see China in the Olympics in a couple years, right. And just you're going to see, like, Ned Sr.
He moved to, like, Shanghai, like, one of the biggest cities in the world.
That's so crazy. Did your mom go, too?
She's about to. She's just they're going to be there for 6 months and here in the States for six damn. Months. So she's chilling right now, though.
That's pretty tight.
Yeah, but fucking nah, like.
So you move home and you link back up with Rory. Was there any bad blood?
Kind of, but we, like, squashed everything. This is when he had just started Ruby Yacht,
yeah,
his label. And so he was living in Milwaukee.
It's crazy to me that all of this has happened since – well, because I know that I started the podcast in 2013, mm-hmm. and you moved out shortly thereafter, like end of 2013 or beginning of 2014, something like that. And so, like, all of the, like, you seem like a fucking grizzled LA veteran at this point.
Yeah, I moved.
And you've only been here for 3 years.
I know. People think I'm from here, but I'm absolutely not. But fucking, it was weird, man. This is the start of Ned the Couch Surfer.
Yeah.
When I moved back, because I didn't have a, when I moved back, I don't have a place. I don't want to live with my parents. I want to live in the city. So I just live on my friend's couch. My friend Nicholas J's couch, where Rory was living too. And I got like a job as a fucking, oh, where did I work? I was doing valet at a hospital.
Wow. You've had a lot of jobs.
I've had a ton of jobs, but I was doing valet. I saved up enough money to get a one-bedroom apartment in Milwaukee, but I was only there for 3 months, so I was on the couch for a month.
How much does a one-bedroom in Milwaukee cost a month?
$600 with a like that's living so room,
cheap.
Like fucking
that's so cheap.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like fucking yeah, I had a car and shit. It was cool, but I was really fucking lonely and like depressed. Like this is when I start drinking. Like when I'm by myself, just because my friends were doing different shit. I wasn't really a part of Ruby Yacht. I didn't really, like, fit. Like, I could have been, but right. I just wasn't. I was making beats and, like, still working and shit, but I was just, like, I just found myself getting way too fucking sad and, like, depressed there. Because I moved from Wisconsin for a reason. Like, I was running into my ex too much.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you and Rory both kind of decided to take what you were doing and exponentiate it in a way where, like, he got even more kind of, like, artsy and you got even more, like, turned up over time.
Yeah,
you
literally.
Know what I'm
we became, like, complete opposites. Right. But we're still, like, we have a lot of similarities, but our shit, like, as far as music shit goes, we love all the same shit, but they're different paths.
Yeah, you guys have hit a fork in the road where it's just, like, different career trajectories.
So I think, like, when that happened and I realized that and I was getting super, like, fucking depressed and shit, I was just like, I'm just going to move back to LA. Like, fuck this shit. Like, I'm just going to go back. I save up enough money, like, working. And I moved back to my parents' house. There's so much random shit that happened.
Right.
After this apartment, I'm like, fuck Milwaukee. I'm always seeing my ex. Like, I hate it here. I'm going to just move at home and, like, work at a factory and save up money. Now I'm working at a fucking packaging company where I worked in a frozen pizza. I was packaging frozen pizza crust.
No way.
And then I was working at a company that sent out junk mail.
Wow.
Like random fucking jobs. And then.
But you were staying active in music all that time.
Yeah, the whole time.
When kids hit me up and talk about, like, man, I don't have any money, I want you guys to quit bitching.
Fuck no,
and
bro.
Listen to this podcast. You got to have a job and take care of your creative means. You know
I've had
I mean?
A job up until I could live off music, which has only been since July.
Since you started fucking selling SoundCloud retweets.
Literally. I remember I used to sell fucking beats for pizzas and Ubers.
Oh, I bought you more than one pizza, yeah, bro.
You definitely
just
have.
Out of charity. I'm like, yo, Ned, you're a good guy. I'm gonna get you a pizza.
Yeah, that was very, very. Thank you for that. You know, very meaningful. But fucking,
I'm sure.
Yeah, I saved up some money. I was like, okay, I'm gonna go back to LA. I can't bring my mom's car with me this time. Fucking, I just fly out there, and then this is when I move in with Adam 22.
But thankfully, like, Uber's popping at this point. So,
yeah,
like,
Uber's
popping. Because Uber wasn't popping when you first
moved out. No, it wasn't.
Here, right?
It wasn't really.
Right. So you can survive in LA without a car now.
I had met Adam at a Chief Keef show. Or no, a Fredo Santana show that Ham threw a long time ago. And I'd barely spoken with him for real, but
That was at Club 33 or whatever,
yeah,
the one
yeah.
downtown?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, and that shit was turnt. But fucking, I hit him up. I was like, I didn't even think he would say yes. So I was like, yo, can I crash at your place? Like, I'd been there a few times before, like, until I get my shit situated. Like, I'm moving into a place in North Hollywood in, like, 2 weeks. I thought I was moving into, like, subletting a room.
Yeah.
Turns out, like, I sleep on his couch for 2 weeks, move to North Hollywood. I sleep in a shack. Like, this lady finessed me, like, I'd sent her money, like, prior.
Yeah.
I get there, and it's literally, like, it's like a blanket that hung off the side of her fucking house.
Yeah.
And a blanket that hung down as a wall.
No.
And there's a bed in there, and I'm sleeping outside.
What?
And I have nowhere else to go. And I'm about to...
What was she charging for that?
$600.
Holy shit.
There's a TV in there, but, like, the bathroom, I have to go into her house and shit. And,
wow.
Like... And at the same time, she's subletting her couch, and then she lives in a studio apartment.
Wow.
She's subletting her couch and this little area outside, like, there's bugs and shit, but I was like living, and I was pulling bitches in there too. I was getting pussy in this tent, bro. Like, it was fucked up. And the fence, like, you can't even open the fence because she has so many dogs. I had to crawl over a fence every day.
Oh my god.
And then I was like fuck this, I'm gonna just go back to college and live in a dorm again. So I go back to Woodbury after leaving the first time, because I had left college.
And they have dorms there?
Yeah, they have dorms.
So would you take out a student loan?
Yeah, I took out a student loan because I went to college for free. I feel like a dickhead that I didn't finish because it was a part of like since my dad worked out of college, I could go for free.
Right.
All I had to pay for was like living and food.
Yeah.
But yeah, I take out a student loan. I live in this dorm. I'm kind of only in school for a living, like, or for like the roof
housing
over my head.
Right.
So like I go to school, like I'm doing okay for a couple months. But that's in Burbank, so every day I found myself just coming to L.A.
To the city.
Yeah, and, like, I didn't – it ended up to the point where I literally lived at the college and didn't go to any classes.
Right.
For, like, 4 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have people that would come crash at your dorm?
Hell yeah. All my friends would come up. Like, after a night of partying, like, all my friends that I'm friends with now – like, I was pulling bitches in the dorm. My friends were coming, staying over.
That's funny.
I would take them to the cafeteria.
Right, right. That's funny. Kenny Siegel, do you know Kenny? Yeah,
I know Kenny.
Works for him.
Yeah.
He had a story about, like, when he was in college at, I think, USC, you know, like, freestyle fellowship dudes used to, like, crash on his couch. Like,
mm-hmm.
Peace would just be the dude on the couch for, like, a whole semester and
yeah.
shit like that. Like, it reminds me of that.
Yeah, because, like, they never knew that, like, I don't know why I didn't get kicked out. Like, I always heard, like, they're going to find out you're not going to class and, like, kick you out pretty
right.
much. But they didn't, like, and...
So what ends that?
Basically, the semester ended.
And okay.
I couldn't stay there if I wasn't technically enrolled.
Right.
So that's when the official couch surfing shit begins.
Yeah.
And that's when I didn't really have a lot of money then, but so I move in with this kid who lived in, like, South Central, who just sold coke and, like, did hella drugs and was, like, fucked up.
Right.
This is when I started doing drugs,
uh-huh.
like, coke and shit. And, like, but it was, like, a very unhealthy environment. This kid would – I would be, like, asleep, and he would give me coke as I'm asleep.
What?
Like, because I breathe out of my nose. And ketamine and shit, like, he's, like, feeding me drugs as I'm asleep. I would wake up, like, what the fuck? I'm turnt right now. Like, what happened?
What? And just fuck with you or what?
Yeah, he thought it was funny. But, like, I eventually, like, I was just like, yeah, let's party, like, whatever.
He's like, oh, dude, it's so funny how strung out you are.
Right. And this is a time where – like, I'm living there. I can't get a job, like, anywhere. Because I'm – first of all, it was taking way too long for me to take the bus anywhere. I'm not going to work in South
right.
Central.
Like, yeah, the geography of L.A., if you guys don't live here, like, South Central is kind of its own little bubble.
I was living in the 40s at that point.
Yeah. So it takes a while to get, like –
yeah.
anywhere in the city because
yeah.
you, like LA is built there. It's encapsulated by freeways. And if you're on the other side of those freeways, then to get back across
right.
them, it's like the traffic is insanity. So
this is around the same time my Uber suspended. So I'm selling beats for Ubers because the bus was taking too long. I'm trying to get a job downtown. Fucking nothing's working out. I just found myself like in like a dark hole of like doing hella drugs, not having any fucking money,
what
and
year,
just sleeping on his couch.
2015 or 2014?
This is 2015.
15, yeah.
This is 2015. Like, Yeah.
This is when I would see you show up to parties, and every time I would see you, you'd have a new tattoo, and I'd be like, why are you getting hand tattoos? Yeah. I said, Ned, what are you doing? Why do you have a face tattoo?
Yeah, this is when I started.
I know that I'm like an obnoxious, like I like little brother you on some fucking asshole shit, I'm sure, but it was always out of love, like, are you okay, little young bro?
And I'm glad I went through all this, but that's when I started just experimenting a lot with like everything and like, yeah, I was getting like a lot of tattoos and like just acting crazy.
Well, because you didn't really have... You had hardly any tattoos, and then you walked into a party and had a fucking hand tattoo. And I said, "What did you do?"
Yeah, you told me it was some pussy shit to get a hand tattoo before you get like a sleeve.
Yeah, I'm like, you're supposed to get a sleeve first before you get
it. Barely still do. I have random ass fucking tattoos.
I'm like, that's some poser shit. Really. Yeah, but I mean, it is what it is. It's like that's you guys' generation. That's what you do.
Yeah, they just don't. Yeah, it's such a typical ass tattoo. But fucking yeah, I eventually and I started seeing this girl around that time. And, like, I would crash at her house and shit.
Well, so is this around the time that you start Goth Boy? Or not that you start Goth Boy Click, but that Goth Boy Click is starting to come together?
Because Thrax House kind of fell apart after I left, and then Kinata left and Tracy left. So after that, it became kind of, like, inactive. It's still a thing, but it's, like, inactive pretty much. But once that got inactive, Goth Boy Click started, like, really taking off. And this was before Peep was in it. But, yeah, this is when I was fucking just living on this fool's floor, literally on his floor, and fucking doing hella drugs, but making, like, amazing fucking music. And, yeah, what stopped me from living there was because Peep, he had this friend named Brennan, who's Peep's friend from, like, when they were 12. He moved out here to go to college, I think. So he was going to school in Pasadena.
Well, so how did you hear of Peep?
Okay, this is funny too. So this kid named Young Jizza, who's a singer,
like GZA or
how yeah,
you, okay,
yeah, or JZA.
Okay.
Young Jizza put me and him. This is when I was rapping a lot too. So it was like a singing song. So Peep had the first verse on it. And then Jizza goes, and then I go, or some shit like that. That was the first time I heard him, because we were put on the same song. And I was like, this shit's tight. Like, what the fuck? And he had hit me up, and he was like, I'm a fan of your shit through, like, shit you've done with Wolf. So I had a beat tape with Wolf, yeah.
Wow.
And then he was like, yo, I'm about to move back to Pasadena. Like, my friend Brandon lives there. I'm going to be there in, like, 2 days. Like, let's do shit. We did hella shit online. And then
was Schema Boys a thing already?
Yeah, this was Schema. This was when he was in Schema Posse.
Or Schema Posse, yeah.
Yeah, he was in that shit.
That was him, Ghostman, and Jay Green, right?
It was like him, Ghostman, Jay Green, Craig Zan, Wavy Jones. It was a lot of kids.
Okay.
But fucking, I start going up to Pasadena all the time. I meet Peep.
This is after the Peep song. Or after, okay, so he was
this
living
is in after the- me and Peep do a song, and after we had made like a few songs online. We had made Beamer Boy. We had made a whole EP called California Girls. It's out there somewhere.
California Girls is to this day my favorite Peep project, and I love it.
Like, I remember showing you that.
So, because I remember a conversation where you're like, I was just talking about like kind of my own worries that I'm like getting old and starting to not understand like the new music. And
wasn't
I'm like,
this the day I told you to interview Such Hollow Water Boys? It was after we ate burgers.
Oh no!
We were in the car.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I remember I was like, yeah, I was talking to you about having to go interview Such Hollow Water Boys. It might have been before that though, because I was like, it was like I was telling you like, yeah, like Lil Uzi Vert, like it sounded like trash to me, and like this and that and the other. And you're like, what about Lil Peep? It was at a party. It wasn't that conversation.
Oh sure.
You're like, what about Lil Peep? And I went, I mean, I just don't get it. It just seems like a Bones ripoff. But it was because I hadn't actually listened to it whatsoever. Right. And so you're like, nah, dude.
Check out this
project.
Yeah,
go listen to this. And when I listened to it, I was like, holy fuck. And I got it. Like once I'm somebody where I have to sit down and listen to a project. Like I need to listen to like a 7-song EP.
Yeah, same.
I can't just listen to one song or I can't grasp it. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so my point is like California Girls is that was the thing that made me understand Lil Peep.
Yeah, that was like the first relationship we had. Yeah. He was living in Pasadena with Brennan because he was going to school there. So that house, before I started sleeping on that couch, it was Brennan Savage, Lil Peep, Craig Zen, this other kid, Adventure, who went to school too. Uh-huh. And then I come, I pull up. This is when we started doing just hella shit, like hella fucking music together. Lederic was living there, Young Goth. Even at one point, Ghostman was staying there for a while.
Right.
It became the like Boyle Heights part two.
Okay.
So it was like SoundCloud Central in this house.
Do you like kind of thrive in those environments? Is that what you enjoy?
I did when I had nowhere to live. Mm-hmm. Like, but now that I can afford like my own shit, mm-hmm. I don't really like being, I don't like living like that anymore.
Right.
Like, that's why I'm about to move into like my own crib just with one person. No shade to anybody. I just need to be like alone to focus on shit. But back then I had more of a tolerance to it.
Right.
And I was younger and shit. But fucking,
be careful, man. Once you start living by yourself, you're never going to be able to live with people again.
I'm living with one person.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've lived alone before, but I hated it. So
right.
Fucking, yeah. We're all living in Pasadena. That's around the time.
This is when Peep like just moved out here or what?
He had lived in Pasadena before, but he moved back to Long Island to see his family for a bit and then like came back.
Okay.
Because, Brennan had lived in San Diego.
Blah, blah.
But yeah, whatever. Fucking anyways. So they're all living in Pasadena. I move in. I start hanging out with everybody in real life and shit. This around the time, and during this whole time, I'm still looking for jobs. Like, still can't find a job, still am broke, trying to like still save up money for my own shit. But this is around the time when I introduced Peep to Tracy. I had went up to Oakland to do a show, and me and Tracy did a show together. This was when he was still young, bro. I'm like, bro, come back to LA, because he had lived in LA, but he was in Portland for a bit. I come back, I bring him to Pasadena, and then the first day he meets Peep, they make white tea. Like on the first day. So that's how that relationship started. Because
those two are like kindred spirits, like besties and shit, yeah?
Yeah, they're pretty good friends and they're just like even better at making music together. Like,
right. They sound great together. They complement each other well.
Like a lot of their biggest songs are with each other. And
so
shit.
You're the one that facilitated that relationship.
Off top.
Look at you, Ned.
Yeah.
You're the man,
and
bro.
Then that around that time too was when I was hitting up Wicca. I still have the DMs and I was like, yo, we're already doing this type of shit, like the singing, trap shit. Like, Peep this kid, little Peep. And I don't know if he was fucking with it at first, but he eventually just, like, began to really, like, love it. And then they had eventually, like, added him to Goth Boy Click. But,
yeah, I remember Wicca. Like, I mean, I remember hearing Wicca Phase first on that Spooky Black song.
Yeah.
But then I have just an internet homie whom I've never met, but shout out Cam Krills up in Vancouver. He was putting a lot of Wicca Phase stuff on these playlists he was making every month, and I was like, this shit is so weird. But I heavy fucked with it. I was like, this shit is tight for some reason, and it's such a like perfect fit in Goth Boy.
It is. Like, and Wicca's the old frontman of Tiger's Drop.
Right.
Cool ass band. But
yeah,
fucking,
shout out former guest Wicca Faze. Fantastic guy. I really liked him.
He's a cool ass dude.
But, Adam.
But yeah, so that around that time, Peep and Ghost and Wavy, they all leave Schema Posse. So they're not in like crews and shit anymore. Yeah. And I think like Peep was like solo for a bit. And then he eventually like they were fucking with him enough to
Who
where
came
they
up
had
with
him.
The term Goth Boy Click?
Wicca Phase and Cold Heart did.
Really?
In 2013. Like, if you go listen to old shit.
Right.
But it didn't become, like a real click with, like, actual members probably up until, like, a year and a half, 2 years ago. And then Peep was the final member.
Right.
But, yeah, after that whole Pasadena scene, we all moved to Whittier because that lease is up. We get kicked out because a bunch of Mormons lived up there and they owned the property and they kicked us out because we played music too loud and all this crazy shit. But fucking, yeah, we moved to Whittier.
Where the girls are prettier.
Yeah, where Ghost lives right now. He moved in after, but it was like Brennan and Craig and me and Peep and Wavy and like all these fucking people again. Just in a new house or whatever.
You guys just like live in the SoundCloud frat house.
Yeah, it was literally our shit, I guarantee, is more like clicked up in real life than any other artist, like for that time. But we were just scraping all the money we had together just to like have a roof over our heads.
Right.
And I think people should do that, like if they're really passionate about shit, but like always make sure you have money. Like,
tell me about your pursuit for money, because I clown on you a lot and I tease you a lot in a loving way just about like your various hustles. So tell people about all the beat specials.
Yeah,
tell them about selling SoundCloud reposts. post. That was the one where I was like, that.
Yeah, that's just pretty crazy.
That shit is like the thirstiest yet most innovative thing I've ever seen. I would have never thought to do that.
At the same time, yeah. though, it's promo, and like people paid for promo way back before there was right. fucking SoundCloud.
Right, because people pay for YouTube promo. Right. People, pay, I mean, like, yeah, people offer me money to do the show. Even all the time, a commercial. And I've kind of just been like, fuck that.
You right, know, anything right. like that. But fucking. No, like I encourage people to like if you have no money, like work. Like if you can't make money from music yet, like I think that's just important. Unless you can like live at home and like save and just focus on your craft, but don't be a leech. That's my one thing is don't be a fucking leech. Like
right.
I've always had jobs. There was only that one point where I didn't. 'Cause then when we moved into when I was in Whittier, I got a job again for the first time in like a year.
As a bar back, right?
As a dishwasher.
Oh, the dishwasher.
But I was like stoked. I was like, finally, I have a fucking job again so I can save up and move.
Right.
And then that's when we moved into the loft. And that's like a whole other frat house too. And that's right. when me and Pete move in. That's when he gets signed to a management label and shit just fucking skyrockets for that kid like when we were living there. But yeah, like... Fuck,
the,
where was
the loft became kind of like the goth boy frat, the that goth
was,
boy clique frat
that
house.
Was like the goth boy house, like yeah. the Skeeta lofts, the Skeeta mansion. Skeeta. It's in Skid Row. It's at this fire.
It's in Skeeta Row.
Skeeta Row. Like it was like a 2,000 square foot.
It's huge
space. It was giant. Yeah. yeah, and we had like five people in there, but it was big enough to where it was comfortable. Like yeah. we just each set up shop in each corner of the spot, but it became the place like. Yeah, we were making music, but then it just became a fucking party house. Like, everybody came over, like, all the fucking time. And, like, I remember on New Year's, I fly back on New Year's Eve from fucking New Hampshire. There was 300 people in my house. Ooh. I had no idea that I was about to walk into, like, the biggest party I'd ever been in.
They're like, surprise!
Yeah.
It was a surprise welcome home party for Ned.
It was great, though, there because it was a great meeting place for our friends from out of town to come right. and, like, crash and dip and, like, just – we yeah, all – like, most artists that we know had came through there, like, at least once, like
– Well, so now we've gotten to modern day Ned. And so just kind of tell me, like, what you're working on currently. I mean, tell me a little bit about the Europe tour that you just got back yeah. from. Like, who maybe give me a couple of hints of, like, who to look out for. Like, who's next up. You know what I mean?
I got you.
Yeah, so just like let's start wrapping it up, but like tell me a little bit about where you're at currently.
Currently, living in Echo Park, Lil Pete, fucking about to move to a new crib, basically.
Working on music.
Working
a lot.
I'm working on music not like I am, but I'm not. Like I'm not making a lot of shit only because I'm helping people facilitate other shit mm-hmm. and like I'm trying to wait until I get in my new spot to where I'm like solo and just can focus on my shit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, now I'm just selling beats, literally.
Yeah.
I sell those reposts. I make enough money.
When you sell beats, is it like you're selling leases where it's like you can rap over this, but I'm going to sell it to other people too?
Like sometimes I try to give people like if you want an exclusive beat, pay for the exclusive beat.
Right.
But like I make enough, but I'm trying to get to the point where I'm making like royalties and all that shit, but I have to stop sampling if I do that.
Totally.
But yeah, fucking, I'm chilling now. Like I'm at the point where I don't have to like work a normal job. I can wake up wherever the fuck I want.
Nice.
Like, you know, chill, eat food, hang out with my friends, fucking. But yeah, I'm always working on shit. I'm always helping people like facilitate albums.
Yeah.
Me and Ghost will probably do Damon 3 soon.
Yeah.
I just dropped a tape with Slug Christ.
Sick.
Peep shit. And that, yeah, I was on tour in Russia and Europe. That was like the craziest experience I've had musically so far. Like being out there, just seeing, like, I didn't think anything. Like, I know I have fans here and shit, and like all that shit is cool. But when we go over there, it's like you're a celebrity, and we're not like super famous yet, but mm-hmm. like the kids treated us like we were like gods. And it was right. like hella cool. Like, I'd never signed that many autographs before, and like everybody saying how much they've been following my shit. Like Russian kids love the whole like little SoundCloud scene right. so fucking much.
That's tight.
But yeah, it was amazing like seeing all those places and different cultures, and Russian food's not that good. That's the only thing I have to say about that. But
Tell me like a couple artists that are super rare right now that you feel like are next up. Because I always mention you on this show as like you're the guy who has the ear for what's next, the same way that Speak used to have it. Where like I've told you before, like Speak was the first person to tell me about Space Ghost Perp before Space Ghost Perp was anything. And I listened to it and I went, I don't get it, but yeah. Speak was fucking right. You know what I mean? So like you tell me who are some people like that?
The new people that to hip out to are Six Dogs. Mm-hmm. He's like this 17-year-old kid from the Atlanta area who makes just like really cool shit that fits in with what we're talking about. We got him, The Con, who's hard as fuck. He's like a new age walker.
I mentioned him on a – so the episode that will come after this is one with Nappy Nappa, who is someone that you put me on to from the D.C. area. We talked about him briefly. And Con – he was here, Atomos Khan, or Atomos Khan. I always say his name wrong. I say everything
Atomos,
wrong. Atomos
like Khan. It's like a group of four people, and he's one of the members.
Okay, so Khan.
He's with me right now. He's at the crib.
Yeah, so but Khan is somebody to look out for. He's cool as shit.
Who else? Six Dogs. Fuck. There's like some other people. Like Lil Lotus, he's really tight. He's like a singer too. But those are like the main three right now because I try not to listen to a lot of the shit that's surrounding me unless I'm working on it because I don't want to sound like everybody else.
Right, totally.
So, but yeah, those are like the three.
Cool, man. Well, fuck, Ned, I'm glad that we finally did this. I know we've been talking about it forever, and I've just always kind of looked at it as like, oh, you're the homie who will just come in whenever because like you're just down like that. So, you know, I will say that like – it's been crazy to watch your progression over time, just from like being a goofy fucking Canadian kid that was hitting me on Facebook.
Yeah, just going to ham.
But for some reason,
asking for free beer.
Exactly. Going to ham and asking for free beer. But here's the thing: is like out of all the kids that try to message me on Facebook or try to fucking email me or whatever, there was something about you in your approach that was the right way to do it. And I can't put my finger on it, but it's just like, man, fucking be nice to people and people will talk back to you. I think one of the things that you do best is like you kind of swallow ego and swallow pride and you always do try to like help. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You try to help everyone.
Respect is very important.
Absolutely. That's what it is.
And first impressions is like what I try to make sure I'm really good at.
Right. You know? Exactly.
So, if you have a whack first impression on somebody, you're never going to get anything
totally
like, out of shit.
And it's one of those things where like having known you as long as I have and seeing knowing you from where you were at when we started our communication to watching now, I think a lot of people in my position and age and all that would just go like, oh, fuck that. That's just a little homie. But I try to like not be that guy. So I'm like really just – proud to watch you to take over this scene and help facilitate so many people.
Yeah.
It's really great to watch, and I'm hoping that it goes even farther as time goes on, Ned.
Timeline of Ned. You heard it here first. Kind of neat.
For real. That was a very, like, this was your biography. If anything were to happen, this is your autobiography.
Yeah, that's like the first time I told pretty much. Like,
time capsule shit. Yeah. So tell people where to find you online because you are verified.
Verified.
That's another thing. Back in the day, I joke about this, but I used to tell you like, yo, Ned, you tweet too much. Like, quit tweeting.
And I remember that.
Quit tweeting and you'll get more Twitter followers. Now you got twice as many Twitter followers than me and you're verified. You still tweet all the motherfucking time.
Yeah.
So tell people where to find you online.
If you just Google NedArb, it's NedArb, like .com/. Do that. Just search NedArb.
NedArb Nagrom.
NedArb. I took the Nagrom part off the name, like when I get credit, because like it was becoming too. Like,
it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot to NedArb Nagrom.
It makes me feel like dyslexic or something because I would always end up accidentally calling you Nedard, and I'm like, even though I know that it's just like your first name backwards, like I would still fuck it up just because it's so many letters that just looks like it looks like a word.
It looks weird. People think it's some like weird European name, like, or they think Ned's my real name.
Right. It looks like a Viking name. Or
something that's what I'm saying. Why I think it looks crazy. So that's why I ran with it. Right. But yeah, hit me up on Twitter.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite projects you've been involved with? If people wanted to get the NedArb starter kit,
again, Lil Peep, California Girls EP.
That's highly suggested for me.
It's on YouTube. The whole stream.
Yep.
The shit I did with Ghostman, we have Damon 1 and Damon 2 out. Check out if you want to dive into my catalog, go listen to Emotion by Young Bruh. Anything with me and Goth Boy Click. Yeah, I don't know. Just
and
just,
Numb.
Yeah, Numb.
Numb by Horsehead is a great one.
Yeah.
A lot of the newer Little Peep shit, too. You have a lot of beats on those ones, yeah. Like on Crybaby and yep. on Hellboy, right?
Yeah, like Drive By, fucking OMFG, We Think Too Much. There's yeah. a bunch of them. But, right. Yeah, and anything I used to do with Cray back in the day. But yeah, just check me out.
There you go.
Fuck with me.
Yeah, this is a man who has had a metamorphosis over time from being fucking Milo's little nerdy sidekick to yeah. being the most fucking turned up, thraxed out individual
oh
in
God.
LA, bro. Here
yeah.
we are.
Here we are.
Thanks for coming in, man. I appreciate it. This was dope. My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you can find me at It's Intuition. You can follow my man, Ben Shin, behind the boards, making the shit sound buttery. At I Am Database, base with two S's. You can follow us as a unit at Kinda Neat. Get us to 3,000 followers, for Christ fucking sakes. We're almost there. Just do it. I know you're not following us. I barely ever tweet from it, but
follow
just
them.
Hit that follow button. Go to youtube.com/kindaneat, where you can watch over 100 performances, mm-hmm. I think, at this point. They're all fantastic.
They're amazing.
Well, some of them are better than others. Let's keep it 100 here. But yeah, you can go watch our buddy Ghostman is in the other room sitting yep. listening. You can go watch his video, which has been an absolute phenomenon. What else? I guess that's it.
That's it.
Yeah. Go to kindaneat.net to see it all wrapped up in a pretty package. That being said, that was Ned. I am Lee, and this was Kinda Neat. Let's get it.
Exactly. This song comes with,
I got a different song now.